Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and as always, you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are this time on Friday here on LA Talk Radio. Irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. That's what we're about, helping you out with your stuff. Of course, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, and I'm just giving you suggestions and ideas, as are my guests, as always, helping you out here with a lot of different issues. You know, when I work with patients in therapy, I think one of the most important goals of mine is to help them uncover and explore a deeper understanding, you know, of their own thoughts and fears and feelings and behaviors, and to come to realize how these mental and emotional states influence their interactions with other people. I mean, that's part of what happens a lot of times in therapy. I mean, people kind of need to be encouraged about, let's get some insight as to why you say the things you do, why you act the way you do, and why you're not interpreting or possibly understanding people a little better, because maybe you have a lot of your own stuff and you have to work through some of that stuff, wondering where it came from. Was it your environment growing up? I don't know. What happened? Somebody sort of give you bad messages about yourself? Was there abuse in the home? Was there addiction, alcoholism, drug abuse? Was there a lot of bickering, you know, screaming and yelling going on in your home? What went on in your early life growing up that made you, as this innocent, sweet child, imprint negative things about yourself? So you believe that you're not worthy, or you should be beaten because you're not a good person. You're always guilty. You're not good enough, ever good enough. So growing up in a toxic environment, as I call it, can really influence, you know, how we think about ourselves and how we relate to the world. And also it can influence your ability to perceive others, you know, and how they react to you a lot of times. And because you may have some serious toxic upbringings, your perceptions of how others are dealing with you may be a little skewed. Because whenever you came home from school, you didn't know if mommy or daddy was going to beat you, or didn't know if somebody was going to be screaming or yelling, or at night before bed when dad came home, you didn't know if he was going to be drunk, whatever. Those kind of scenarios, you know what I'm talking about. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a blatant environment like I'm talking about. It can also be subtleties, not really seeing you as a child or your siblings as important beings in this world, just sort of shoving you aside and not really giving you an identity. A lot of control homes, got to control, you know, a lot of us come from those environments as well. That's fear. You know, a lot of parents fear. We all do. We want our kids to be happy and grow up healthy, mentally and physically, but, you know, we have to control you. God forbid anything goes wrong. Well, that can be damaging as well. A lot of the messages we get from that are that we really, again, don't have an identity. And then we fight, we change. But a lot of it, again, has to do with how we perceive other people out there in the world. So if you have a hot button, and I've talked about this so many times, of fearing control, when someone doesn't even really mean it, but they say something that may just sort of touch or reflect on that, you're going to be defensive and react, right? If somebody really has a right to get angry about something or share their hurts, if you've been abused or criticized, you may be really defensive and hurt and ready to react. You know, so there's a lot of different things that we have to learn about ourselves in therapy and how we react to others, and also the relationship we have with ourselves. And that's the most important thing, because, you know, I always say you have to be good for yourself first. You have to take care of yourself first, mentally and physically. And then you'll be good for other people. And that's really the way it does work in the world. Because if you're not sort of squared away inside, you're not going to be good or helpful to other people, you know, in getting what they need or getting what you need, you know, to help yourself. So it's really important that you tune in to your own needs and wants. It's really important that you, you know, get a clue about what you have to do to feel better about yourself and about your life. And that's kind of what we're talking about today, you know. Dr. Joseph Schran, by the way, is one of my recurring guests. And yeah, he's been on the show several times. If you go into the archives, you'll find him. And he always shares great insights to help listeners with his other books. I remember talking to him about the fear reflex. Amazing. A lot of what I was just talking about. And outsmarting anger. And he's got a great book out right now. It's amazing. You guys are going to learn so much today if you keep it right here on LA Talk Radio, because he's going to be sharing some really great ideas and really helpful things with you. So let me just tell you a little bit about him before we pull him up live on the air here. Dr. Joe is an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, an assistant child psychiatrist on the medical staff of Massachusetts General Hospital, and the medical director of CASEL, which stands for Clean and Sober Teens Living Empowered. It's an intervention unit for at-risk teens. You know, Dr. Schran routinely gives lectures on theory of mind and its application to help the behaviors of patients. So many more accolades behind this great man. But I want to talk to him right now. Hey, Joseph, how are you today?
Dr. Michelle, I'm doing great. Thanks so much. It's lovely. I get to chat with you every year.
Isn't this fun? it's lovely for me, too. And I can tell you're doing great, because you're doing wonderfully for others, and people love you. And your latest book is a winner, man. You did it again.
Oh, thank you. Really appreciate it. And
yeah.
You know, that's all I'm trying to do here. Really is.
Yeah.
You know, if we can reach out and help some other folks to help themselves, that's what it's about. It's a great honor and privilege to do that.
It's so great to have you with me today. And just also want to mention Leigh Devine, MA. She's also a co-writer of the book. She's written and produced a lot of notable publications, documentary programs, specializing in psychology and medicine. So a little heads up there to Leigh. Nice to have her as well on the, you know, part of the credits of the book. So the name of the book, guys, ready? This is the best. Why didn't I think of this? Because I'm not Dr. Joseph Schran. The book's called Do You Really Get Me? Finding Value in Yourself and Others Through Empathy and Connection. That's it right there. I mean, just look up all those words, Google all those words, and also the theory of mind, but mix it with Dr. Joseph's expertise, and you've got a real winner here. So let's just jump in here and tell listeners why you wrote this book. Do You Really Get Me?
I wrote this book so that I could bring to the general public and the readership what this theory of mind thing is really about. And you know, Theory of mind is not the same thing as theory of evolution. Theory of mind, we use the word theory in it simply because we can't see somebody else's mind.
Yeah, so
we have to theorize. We have to wonder, what is somebody else thinking or feeling? Mm-hmm. And the reason I wanted the readership to know this is because it is the most powerful and fundamental building block of all human interaction. It underlies everything that we do when we come together. We're always wondering. We're always assessing, we're always hoping that somebody's thinking well of us. But the thing is, If you're doing it, everyone's doing it.
Yes.
Think about that. If you're doing it, everyone is doing it. Everyone is using theory of mind, but how many people really know about it?
Right.
So that's why I wanted to, write about it, so people know the brain tool that is happening when you're interacting with other people.
Right. No, it's wonderful, and it'll help, you know, you guys out there understand how you may be interpreting things and why, and how to get more in touch with that. We are going to talk about the theory of mind a little bit more. And by the way, if that inspired you a little bit out there, guys, just from Dr. Schran's first comments, you can email me live here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, if you have any questions for Dr. Schran. And also, if you want a little help, maybe we can give you some suggestions based on his book, Do You Really Get Me? So keep on listening, guys. I want to also thank my sponsors today, Glow Soulwear, a fine clothing company that has sacred geometric designs, and AskARelationshipExpert.com. So we're moving on here because we all want to know if other people get us, Dr. Schrand.
Please understand what I'm saying.
Really
do.
Oh, my God. So we talked about our work a little bit. You know, before you and I, about a year ago, we were talking, and at the beginning of the show, I was just sort of sharing that a lot of it is based on folks who come to our offices and say they need to fix something in themselves. But you say that the problem with us is that we think it's about us, that something is wrong with us. In other words, our problems are about who we think we are. So what do you mean by this?
I couldn't agree with you more. People come to us, because I'm an adult psychiatrist and a child psychiatrist, and I'm board certified in addiction medicine. I work with all people of all ages.
Yeah.
And I really think that ultimately, having done this for, honestly, I work with adolescents with addiction, so I've been doing psychiatry longer than many of my patients have been alive, which freaks me out, but besides that, I think people come in because they feel they have no value, that they've lost their value, that something has happened. And so what I'm trying to say to someone is, let's think about this for a moment. When you begin to see yourself as less than, you really shouldn't be surprised that you begin to feel depressed or angry or anxious. And the reason is it has a lot to do with this idea that in our heart of hearts, I think a person just wants to feel valued by another person.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
We sure do.
And the people that come to see us don't feel that way.
Right.
And they then blame themselves. There must be something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And this is really, really an important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets also down to this idea of how we evolved as a species. It has to do with feeling powerless. Because if we were powerless a million years ago, we were lunch.
There
was, we were lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
So we defend against being powerless by making things up, by saying, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that,
right,
as if it was going to give us power.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying, and I think we'll get into this a little later on, that there is another way for us to look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets into this whole I am approach, the I maximum approach.
Mm-hmm.
The other way we can look at ourselves is saying, well, wait a second. What if we start looking at ourselves as doing the best we can in response to the world around us and within us, but always responding the best we can?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's our perception about who we think we are through the eyes of others.
Yeah.
That's where theory of mind is really, really powerful.
Right, it sure is. No, you're right. And, as I was chatting about at the beginning of the show, a lot of that's formed, of course, in the eyes of our parents, or in the, projections onto us from them, and the dysfunction going on in a home like that, several types of homes. And that's, the original place that we need to be valued, but many times aren't. And then, of course, our experiences out into the world may continue to reflect that. So it's really tough if we're kind of, as those to speak, beaten down through life and we don't have the tools and are unaware of the fact that we are. we're actually pretty powerless, except through our thoughts and our behaviors. You know?
Yeah, and yet we have enormous, enormous influence, and we'll get into that part.
Mm-hmm.
The part about the home and our family is, yeah. I don't want people to start thinking, well, I'm just going to blame my parents for everything.
Yes.
And I don't want parents to hear that either.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm asking my patients to do is to reflect. If I believe in this I am approach, the idea that a person is always at their current maximum potential,
mm-hmm.
at this moment in time, you're doing the best you can with the potential to change in the very next second,
mm-hmm.
and you apply that to everyone,
yes.
that means that even the people who were cruel to you, who were devaluing you, for whatever reason, that was the best they could do.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
And it certainly doesn't mean you have to condone it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not a free ride. You're going to be held responsible for it.
Sure.
But rather than blame other people or blame yourself, let's step back for a moment and take a look at it.
Right.
Let's look at it again.
Right.
To figure out what's going on without judgment. And if you think about these words, you know, again is re, and look is spect, like spectacles.
Yes.
This is a position of respect.
Right.
And that is the key to this entire I am approach that we're going to talk about.
Mm.
It's respect that leads to value.
Right.
And value is what leads to trust. And
so
when you trust yourself, you can look at yourself more honestly. You can really look at yourself without the fear that you're going to find someone that's less than.
Yes.
Because that's what stops us. That's what resistance is in treatment. You know, we've got this big fancy word for resistance,
yeah.
which is when, you know, when people actually just put up a wall.
Right.
And they don't let you behind it, and they don't let themselves behind it. And that has to do with secrets, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you're really interested in what other people think or feel about you, that means, which is theory of mind, that means that from a theory of mind point of view, a secret isn't a secret because of what you've done. A secret is a secret because you worry that someone will view you differently
yes.
if they know your secret. They will view you with less value.
Right, right.
So that's what theory of mind is about. That's the power of it.
Right.
But that's what the I am approach is about.
Right.
The I am approach is saying, hold on a second here. Let's start looking at ourselves and others mm-hmm. as doing the best we can at that moment, but the potential to change in the very next second. And that next second is another I am.
Oh, boy.
So
yes.
That's what I'm suggesting to folks.
Yes.
That if we start adopting this approach,
yeah.
it's a game changer.
Boy, it sure is.
It's a paradigm shift. It changes everything.
That's right.
And I think in a way that's really going to be much more beneficial to all of us.
Yeah, I agree totally. And it's a wonderful, your I maximum approach, which we'll be talking about in just a little bit. Hey, you want a game changer? You want a shift, folks? Keep it here, because Dr. Joseph Schrand is going to tell you more about how to have that happen in your life. We're talking about his latest book, Do You Really Get Me? And also you can find out how to get his book at the end of the show. So don't you go anywhere, anybody, please, here on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And if you'd like to email me a question, or Dr. Joe, if you have a question, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I want to thank my sponsor today, Glow Soulwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. It's high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. When you wear Glow Soulwear, you feel a higher vibration. So lighten up and check out GlowSacredGeometry.com. I'm wearing one right now, and I feel better already. And I also feel better because I'm talking to one of my favorite guests, Dr. Joseph Schrand. He's a medical doctor, and his accolades are really too lengthy to read, but basically, you know, he's been out there and working to help everyone, all age ranges. Instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, assistant child psychiatrist on the medical staff of Massachusetts General Hospital, and, of course, the medical director of CASEL, which is an intervention unit for at-risk teens, and more and more. But today we are talking about his book, Do You Really Get Me? And it's about finding the value in yourself and others through empathy and connection. And these are huge areas that we need to focus on and learn about. And you can, in this book, it's, you know, better than, 10 weeks of therapy. I'm sorry, guys. I just had to say it, you know, because I'm going to be handing this out to a lot of my patients here. So the theory of mind, you know, basically, as I understand, it's like the ability to interpret one's own and other people's mental and emotional states. So we're trying to understand that each person has unique motives and perspectives, right? So in other words, many people, let's say in the autism spectrum, they sort of don't have that, right?
That's right.
And I think some people, may I dare say, who have... the access to cluster B personality disorders don't have that tool as well. These are sometimes sociopaths just don't have the empathy or emotion involved, right?
Right. It's interesting once we get into these ideas of, you know, of personality, what we call personality disorders.
Right.
And I tell you, when you really look at the IM and really apply it,
yeah,
it takes away disorder completely because everyone is still doing the best they can at that moment.
That's right.
But to get to the autism thing, this is where theory of mind was really first explored. And the unfortunate part of that was that theory of mind then became very firmly associated in the scientific community with autism.
Right.
And we started like forgetting and actually never looked at what I've been saying for 20 years is,
right,
wait a second, it's part of everything.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, theory of mind.
Yeah.
And with folks with Asperger's, which is a form of spectrum disorder, as
sure,
we call it, or,
yeah,
you know, theory of mind difficulty,
yeah,
it's really interesting because Asperger's helps you understand this slight but important difference in theory of mind. And that is that there's a difference in being able to take somebody else's perspective and how they're feeling,
right,
than what they're feeling about you. Those are two different things, Dr. Michelle.
Yes, yeah.
And this is a really important distinction.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just tell you a quick story.
Cool.
About my daughter Sophie.
Okay.
Right. And
I love your
this
story,
is by Sophie
way.
Does not have Asperger's or autism. Perfectly normal little girl, but it shows the development of theory of mind because remember, theory of mind emerges very young. You know, we think it emerges 18 months of age. If it's not there by 3 years of age, we worry that that kid does have some form of autism.
Right.
So here's the story. When I was finishing medical school in Cincinnati, my wife Carol and I were going to drive from Cincinnati to Hartford, Connecticut, where I was going to start my residency in psychiatry at the Institute of Living, University of Connecticut.
Right.
And Sophie was 14 months old. And we had a U-Haul, we had a flatbed front seat, you know, we put Sophie in the car seat right between her mom and I,
yeah,
strapped her in, and we start driving off.
Yeah.
And to keep Sophie entertained, my 14-month-old daughter, I let her eat lollipops. Now, after the sixth lollipop, we were still not out of Ohio.
Oh, my God.
All right? And as a concerned dad about my daughter's dental hygiene, I said to my 14-month-old daughter, Sophie, no more lollipops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sophie is sitting in her car seat right between her mom and I.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophie, just picture this for a moment.
Okay.
Sophie looks at me. She looks at her mother. She takes a lollipop. She unwraps it. She puts it in her mouth with her right hand, and with her left hand, covers her eyes.
Right.
I mean, she's sitting
right
next to me.
That's right. Wait a minute.
She's sitting right next to me, eating a lollipop, covering her eyes.
That's right.
So I think everyone can know what happens here.
Yeah.
14-month-old Sophie thinks, well, if she can't see us,
yeah,
we can't see her.
That's right.
Right?
I'll become invisible.
So normal. 14-month-old, she has not developed theory of mind, the ability to appreciate somebody else's point of view.
Right.
And I've been giving that talk for 20 years.
Yes.
And a few years ago, I don't know what happened.
Right.
But I said to myself, now, wait a second. Why did she cover her eyes?
Right.
Why did she cover her eyes at all?
Yeah.
I mean, she would only have covered her eyes to disappear.
Right.
If she knew that we had a perspective of her.
Right.
Even though she couldn't take our perspective,
right,
she knew that we saw her a certain way. And this, for me, was the key.
Oh, wow.
The theory of mind
evolves
and develops in a child. And the first thing that we are interested in is, what are you thinking or feeling about me?
Yes.
And then later, we wonder, and how are you feeling?
Yes.
And this has, you know, again, evolutionary importance. So a couple of million years ago, it was much more important to know if someone was looking at me as their lunch than if they were hungry.
That's right.
And if I realize that they're hungry but they're not looking at me as their lunch, then I can choose. Do I want to share my lunch?
Yes.
So this is the key part of why theory of mind is so important to all of us. Because we are always wondering what somebody else is thinking or feeling about us. And even kids with Asperger's.
Right.
May think, why does this person feel this way about me without having any clue how they got there?
Right.
Right?
That is fascinating.
So that's the real important difference, and that's what I'm trying to get across in Theory of Mind in the Do You Really Get Me book.
Right,
and I was
really
honored that the foreword was written by Amy Klin, this incredible guy who is one of the world's leading experts in autism research.
Yes.
And I remember writing to him when I was writing this book and telling him the Sophie story, and he said, wow, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Oh, that's great.
Because we're always looking at theory of mind as an inability to take somebody else's perspective.
Right.
But they're interested. We're much more interested. What are you thinking and feeling about me? That's what I really want to know, which is different than, how are you feeling?
That's exactly right. Boy, does that make sense. That's brilliant. It really is. About what time do you suppose, you know, what age, rather, when we start developing that sense of, you know, the who we are and really taking on others' empathy?
Yeah, so the real perspective taking and empathy taking can really start 18 months of age or so.
18?
Maybe a little younger.
Early. Yeah.
But our interest in what other people think or feel about us, I think, happens a lot younger.
Yeah.
And think about stranger anxiety, you know, which happens, you know, 6 to 8 months of age.
Sure.
So stranger anxiety cannot happen unless a couple of things are in place.
Mm-hmm.
The first is, I know that I am different than you.
Right.
Right? Because babies aren't born really knowing that we're different from each other.
Right.
They just sort of assume everybody's one big person and they're connected to them in that way.
Right.
Stranger anxiety can't happen unless a little baby can distinguish between two sets of data.
Yes.
These are familiar faces, and these are not.
Right.
And so they begin to cry when they see a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that implies that they also have some sense that this stranger may have motivations towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And it coincides also, think what happens around 6 to 8 months. Babies begin to move.
Yes.
They begin to learn how to crawl.
Yes.
Some of them, if they're advanced, learn how to walk. So from an evolutionary point of view, it would make a lot of sense that babies who cried as they drifted away and walked away or crawled away from their protective nest and saw a stranger were more likely to survive and live another day than babies who didn't cry when they saw a stranger.
Exactly.
So it's huge. And that really is part of theory of mind. We begin to wonder, what is somebody else thinking or feeling about me? So that's the developmental course of it. Now, look, the reality is that we can all turn it on and sometimes turn it off.
Sure.
It's on most of the time.
Right.
But I think there are times where we turn it off, like haven't you ever said something really nasty to someone?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
like you don't really care
right.
what they think or feel?
Yes.
Right? We've all done this. We've all put people down. We've all devalued people.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to do that when your theory of mind is intact, because I think that we are naturally, as human beings, compassionate.
Well, sure. I think we
are. And caring.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So we all shut it down. Now, in different psychiatric conditions, and you notice I use the word conditions, not
right.
disorders.
Right. I appreciate
so different,
that.
Right? Because it's a condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Theory of mind can be turned off or can be hypersensitive.
Right.
And so things like anxiety, depression, very often hypersensitive, maybe even schizophrenia,
yeah.
hypersensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because folks with schizophrenia get psychotic, they can get paranoid, which means paranoia means you're really, really worried that other people are thinking things about you that ain't good.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's exactly
but
right. So
things like oppositional defiant disorder mm-hmm. and the sociopathic stuff that we've talked
yeah.
about
yeah.
where people really don't care,
yep.
it's much, much more muted. It's turned down.
Right.
Right. And think about, have you ever been around someone who didn't seem to care what you thought or felt?
Sure.
Right.
My
and,
son.
You know,
no, I'm kidding.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
That makes you feel really uncomfortable.
Of course it does. Of course
Because you
does.
Feel, this person sees me with no value.
That's right.
Oh, my God. I could be lunch.
That's right. That's that primitive brain that's interpreting
that's right.
our survival.
Right.
You know, mechanism.
Yeah, it's about survival.
No, it makes a lot of sense. That's really amazing. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Dr. Joseph Schrand. He has written another amazing book. It's called Do You Really Get Me? It's finding value in yourself and others through empathy and connection. And this is a great read. It's a comfortable read, understandable, and one of the best self-help books on I've read in a really long time on understanding yourself and others. Oh, my God.
So you know what? Let me jump in here,
yeah,
Dr. Michelle, because, I mean, seeing as I'm on the couch with you, which is
yes.
really comfy.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's the self-help book idea, and I know that's what it's billed as, right?
Yeah.
These are self-help books, and all the books that I've written are self-help, but I want the audience to step back for a second and realize that I am not saying that you are broken.
Right.
I am not saying that you need help. You know, because a self-help book, I hate to say it, kind of implies, you know what?
Right.
There's something wrong with you. Read
right.
this book so you can be better.
That's true.
What I'm saying is you're always doing the best you can, but that doesn't mean you have to like what you're doing.
That's right.
Or say it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or not take responsibility.
Sure.
This book gives you an opportunity to step back and go, huh, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Right.
And that's where theory of mind and the I am approach all come together.
Yes.
So, you know?
What am I doing? And another, you know, even deeper level of that, and I think, you know, I know you touched on this, is that, you know, we are our own worst enemies. You know, when we come to understand that we did the best we could at that time, and but we have to own it, and we have to feel it, we have to get through it, move through it, and we still continue to beat ourselves up. I mean, where does self-forgiveness come in?
It is one of the core principles of this whole thing is
yeah.
being self-forgiving.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between blaming yourself and taking responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, take responsibility. Responsibility can only empower you.
Yeah.
Blaming yourself puts you down
right.
over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And if you keep putting yourself down, don't be surprised if you don't feel you can do anything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to now say that that is your I am. At
yep.
that moment.
Yep.
The best you can do at that moment is put yourself down.
Yeah.
But step back and say, well, why am I doing this?
Yep.
So let's spend a minute or two talking about the I am and what it really is about.
I'd like to talk about that, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad. it's so great that we're always on the same page.
I know.
On the same couch, Dr. Michelle. I love
Wait,
it.
Are you like the pillows? So, they're okay. They're comfy, right?
So here's the idea, okay?
Okay.
What goes into who we are?
Yeah.
Why am I saying that we're always doing the best we can, our current maximum potential?
Right.
It's influenced by four domains. And The first domain we're talking about, it's the theory of mind domain, which yes. in the I am, I call the I see domain. Mm-hmm. This is my current concept right. of myself. How do I see myself?
Yep.
But of course, how do I think other people see me?
Yep.
Which you know has a huge influence on us.
Right.
And depending on how you interpret the way other people see you is going to affect
right.
your brain and your body,
yep.
how you feel.
Yep.
And you know this, right? All of you. You know that when somebody says to you, you're amazing, you get a different feeling than when somebody says, you know, you're not that great.
yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's different. Well, that affects the second domain.
Yeah.
Which is your biological domain of your brain and body. And I'm not giving these domains sort of any priority over
yeah,
one or the other,
right.
but your I see domain is the entry point. Theory of mind is the entry point into everything else that happens to you.
Right.
It's
right.
the entry point. So that I see domain influences the biological domain, and the biological domain then can influence the I see domain, and that goes back and forth.
Right,
but
right, right.
These are two internal domains.
Right.
The influences on these domains are from the outside.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The first domain is your home environment.
Right.
And I don't think anyone's going to argue, right?
Right.
Your home has had an influence on who you are.
Right. That's true.
And that influences your choices that you make in the second external domain, the social domain, which is everything other than your home. Your home is given a special place
yeah.
because it is so important
yes.
and so influential.
Yes.
But then there's the rest of the world. You and I right now are in a social domain.
Mm-hmm.
Your people at work, it's your social domain.
Right.
Driving down the street is a social domain. Going to a shop is a social domain.
Yep.
And these things interact with each other all the time.
Yes.
Your IC and your biological domain, your home and your social domain.
Mm-hmm.
But
Absolutely.
The result is always your I am, your current maximum potential
That's
in
right.
response to those worlds around you and internally.
Yes, yes.
So this is a really important thing because it leads to a couple of almost principles about this.
Mm-hmm.
The first is, because these four domains are interconnected, a small change in any one domain can have a ripple effect to the whole system.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really important
yeah.
because if
it
you
is.
Think you've got to change everything at once, you're
exactly.
going to be overwhelmed.
Right.
And if you feel overwhelmed, you're going to be angry or anxious or sad, and you're going to put yourself down because you don't think you can change. You think you're less than.
Sure.
So small changes,
yep.
big effects. And you can decide every day. You can wake up every day
right.
and have a small change goal.
Mm-hmm.
What yes. small change am I going to make today?
Yeah.
And it can have an effect. It may be something as, you know, I think I'm going to call someone who I haven't called in a while just to tell them, you know, I miss them.
Yes.
Right? Small change can have a big effect, not just on you, but on that person that you call.
Yes.
And that leads to the second principle
yes.
of the I am approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has an I see domain and theory of mind and interested in what other people think or feel about them,
right.
which affects their biological domain.
Right.
And because you are part of someone's home or social domain,
mm-hmm. yep.
this means... And I want the audience to really listen to this one, because this is a big one. This means you control no one, but you influence everyone.
Yes, yes.
I mean, just think about that for a
yes.
moment. You control
yes.
no one, but you influence everyone.
Yes, yes.
And you get to choose what kind of influence you want to be.
Yes.
So
yes.
do you really get me? It's really saying that at any moment in time, you can remind someone of their value.
Right.
Or just as easily devalue them.
No, it's true.
Because that's sure part
is.
Of who we are.
That's right.
As human beings.
That's exactly
we can
right.
do both. And
yeah.
theory of mind is the brain tool that we use to get it done.
Right. Exactly. And how do you do that? Which way do you approach someone else? How do you get to be genuine and tell someone your truth and how you feel about them? That's why we lie. And I know you get into that in your book as well.
That's right.
The art,
yes, I do.
The art of lying. So what's up with that? I mean, why do most of us need to tell lies?
Yeah. The reason we're telling lies, again, is we want to preserve our value.
Mm-hmm.
That's the white lie,
mm-hmm.
right? The white lie is saying to somebody like, you know what, you've got beautiful hair today.
Mm-hmm.
Love your hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you may think, oh my God, you know, that's, what did that person do to their hair? But you know, you want to preserve their value and yours.
Right.
So you make a little white lie. And folks, come on,
sure.
You know, and I know, that this isn't just something that maybe you do. You do it.
Yeah.
And that's your I am at that moment.
It's true.
The white lie, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Little lies like, Mom, I really didn't take that cookie.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. I didn't. And if you read the book, you know, I got a whole story in there about, about one of my sons and taking cookies and how he needed the lie. He was like, well, I'm 3 years old, four
sure.
years old, to preserve his sense of value.
Sure.
To preserve his his wish that I would see him as valuable. This white lie actually is really interesting because we see this a lot in addiction,
yes,
especially in adolescence,
mm-hmm.
because these kids, my adolescent kids, you know, who I'm treating, will lie to their parents.
Sure.
And their parents get furious because they feel disrespected and devalued and mistrustful. But when I explain to them, wait a sec, the reason this kid is lying to you is because they still care what you think about them.
Right. There is hope.
Yeah. And then when the kids realize that they're lying because they care what their parents think and feel, they go, whoa, this is not what I want to do. Matter of fact, I don't know whether I ever told you about Drug Story Theater, but we created this whole nonprofit group where we teach kids improvisational theater, and they create their own shows about the seduction of addiction to and recovery from drugs and alcohol,
right.
and they perform them for middle schools and high schools, so the treatment of one becomes the prevention of many.
Oh,
they
great.
Have learned that the truth that they tell is much more powerful than any lie.
That's right.
And they give it a talk, you know, the whole play that's called, you know, The Price You Pay, which is about trust.
Oh, that's great.
But then there is this other type of lie, which is much more devious and insidious, the strategic lie, which is really designed to take something from somebody else and to preserve your value at somebody else's expense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, you know, one of the best examples is Bernie Madoff.
Right. Oh,
right?
God, yes.
I mean, strategically lying, trying to tell somebody else that they're great, we got all this money for you, and he was stealing.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and this, you know, this idea of stealing, the idea of lying to preserve some false sense of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, when you get caught in one of those lies, your value is gone.
That's
and it takes a long, long, long time, if ever, to be able to recapture that trust.
That's right. It's really
and that's what we want. You know, we want to feel valued and trusted.
Sure, sure.
So we lie, and it's part of our nature, but we don't need to do it. That's where the I am comes in.
That's right.
Once again, the I am approach is saying, wait a second, if I'm doing the best I can at this moment, and everybody sees me doing that, they may not like it, condone it, and they're going to hold me responsible, but they're not going to judge me.
Right.
They're going to wonder with me,
exactly.
Why am I doing it? How cool is that?
Yeah.
It's so much more interesting to wonder why people do what they do than to judge them. And, you know, I have this incredible opportunity and privilege as a psychiatrist. I get to do that all the time.
Yes, you do.
And I say to my patients, I'm a psychiatrist, not a judge.
Right.
I'm just interested.
Yes.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
And you know what? By applying the I am approach in therapy,
yes,
it is amazing how quickly people can get to where they want to be.
That's true.
Because they're not afraid that they're going to be judged.
That's
they're not afraid that they will judge themselves as less than.
Exactly.
They're doing the best they can.
That's right. And, you know, I always like to just sort of peer into, you know, my special guests, you know, beginnings and things like that. If you don't mind, were you influenced by certain people in your life to be so empathetic and so interested in helping others understand why they did what they did and, you know, try to help them through the steps to make them feel better mentally? I mean, what influences made you so empathetic and caring? And I'm just, You know, I love the work that you've done.
Well, you know, I have no doubt that if I had met you earlier,
yeah,
in my growing up years,
yeah,
you would have been one of those great influences on me.
Well, thank you. Right? Bless your heart.
And you are
Bless
right now heart. As well with the work that you do.
Wow.
But to go back, I'm telling you, it's really interesting because I've been interested in who we are since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And this is a story that I rarely tell, but I can remember when I was 4 or 5 years old,
yeah,
looking in a mirror.
Yes.
And looking at myself and wondering, who's doing that? How am I doing that? What's
right.
happening here? And
right.
and then as I got older, you know, I did a lot of theater, you know, and mm-hmm. you may recall when a TV show called Zoom. So back
yes.
in the early 1970s,
there
was
a
TV
right.
show, kid show Zoom. I was Joe from Zoom.
That's right.
So I had this whole theater career. Of course, in theater and literature, you are always exploring,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
the motivations of other people. And then when I got to college,
yeah.
I started studying something called sociobiology, mm-hmm. which was the genetics of behavior,
yes.
and sort of the biological underpinning of why we do what we do from a survival point of view.
Yes, yes.
Weirdly, at the same time, I was studying the Western discovery of Buddhism,
yes.
and reading a lot of Alan Watts and Huxley and these other folks about
yes.
the sort of interconnectedness of all of us.
Yes.
And there was this really wonderful image to wonder, does the air we breathe separate us or connect us? And I like the idea of connecting
yes,
us.
Yes, absolutely.
So I then began to really synthesize all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1982, after I graduated from my undergraduate college and decided that I wanted to go and do medicine,
mm-hmm.
And I had had the theater company. I'd been a writer for CARE International and writing all these projects and things. I decided I'd go back to school, and I was taking physics.
Yes.
And you're still awake, right? The listener's still awake?
No.
whenever I say the word physics, you know,
yeah, right.
No, sleep.
Fascinating stuff, though. I mean, it really is.
But in physics, yeah. the symbol capital I stands for potential current, for electricity.
Right.
And I thought, why don't we just flip it upside down, and we call it a current potential, and we call everyone at a maximum current potential, influenced by these four domains.
Yes, yes.
And I just think it's made for me the world so much more interesting
right,
to watch people. Now, you ask me, I'll be honest. I know it's a show, but my parents were not happily married.
Yes.
My biological parents, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're at each other and got divorced. My mother,
aww.
Both my parents are deceased. I missed them.
Yes,
but
yes,
my mother
sure
had a wonderful sense of humor. She used to say she was a divorcee but always wanted to be a widow.
Right?
Oh,
my
great,
God. That's
great
hilarious.
Line.
But, right.
But I saw how disrespect can just continue to demean people and put them down, and they
right.
weren't very happy. And
yeah.
I thought, you know,
sure.
I need to understand this because it's so easy to do that. It's so
right.
easy to hurt other people.
That's right.
We can do it effortlessly, but I think it eats away at us.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Think it leaves us, you know, feeling alone.
Yes.
I wrote about this a lot in the Outsmarting Anger book, right?
Sure,
remember?
Sure. Exactly.
That, you know, ultimately, if you continue to be angry at everyone, nobody really wants to be around you.
Well, right.
And you're going to be alone, which is just going to make you angrier.
That's true.
Exactly. So this is where these things really came from. Plus, you know, I was really lucky and fortunate in, you know, 1978, I met this incredible woman, Carol.
Mm.
I was 19, she was 19, and really we've been pretty much together ever since.
Wow. Bless
so
your heart.
I'm incredibly blessed. We've got four amazing kids. And,
well,
and
of course.
You know, I'm a psychiatrist, so
yes.
every now and then my kids will say, oh, you think you know me because you're a psychiatrist.
That's right. That's right.
And I'll say, no, I know you because you're my kid.
That's right.
You know? But
that's exactly
I love that
right.
question. Thank you
oh.
so much. It's a really, you know, nobody's ever asked me, you know, where this stuff came from. So thanks.
No, well, you're so welcome. I'm just fascinated with how people get to where where they are and are so brilliant to write a book like this and so caring and empathetic and create, you know, the non-judgment stance. And of course, as, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, as you are, we have to be non-judgment. We have to be that. But, you know, it's very difficult, you know, to do that many times. But
you know what, Dr. Michelle? Yeah. I agree that we have to be, and yet, and this is going to really annoy so many people in the field, and yet we continue to pathologize.
Well, we do.
We continue to say that people are sick and should be doing better. We give them diagnoses. We say, you have major depressive disorder. Yeah. You have, you know, schizophrenic disorder, your disorders, you're diseased, you're sick, you're broken.
Right.
And then we're astonished that people don't want to come and get help.
That's so true.
You know, I know you don't do that, and I certainly don't do that. I mean, my patients, you know that I respect them.
Right.
And that makes them feel valuable, and
that
allows them to trust me enough to really share these deeper secrets without fear.
That's exactly right, and that's what it takes. Hey, listen, we're running out of time here, but I want to let listeners know how to get your book, find out more about you, where you're going to be, and all that good stuff. So what's the best way?
Yeah, so you should be able to get me in pretty much every major bookstore right now, right off the shelf. You can absolutely get it through Amazon. And if you go to Amazon and you buy it through Amazon, please, after you read it, please consider writing a comment. Because the more comments we get, the more other people will say, oh, that person is reading that book. I think I want to read that book. And remember, this isn't about me. It really isn't. This is because I want readers to understand theory of mind and the I am approach. And that the way you say, do you really get me? Everyone's doing it, so really you have an opportunity to remind someone of their value at every moment. And wouldn't that be just such the coolest thing?
Oh, God, yes.
What kind of a world would that be? It would be, you know, we don't have to compete. We don't have to alienate. I talk about that in the book.
Right.
I talk about
right.
how we help people become members, how we alienate them. Relax.
Oh, yeah.
We're
relax,
one group.
Guys.
One group. It's called humanity.
That's right.
Let's live up to it. Let's enjoy it.
That's
And you know what? Even if you don't, that's your I am.
That's right. That is so true. Well, I am, as always, pleased to have you on the show, Dr. Schran. Thanks for being brilliant. And thanks again for another great book coming out. And, of course, the show will be up and available in the archives tomorrow. And more information about how to get in touch with Dr. Schran and or order his book and make comments on Amazon. And
thanks, Dr. Michelle.
Oh, you're
I
so
know
welcome.
That you really get me.
Well, I do. Thank you.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. Take good care and blessings to your family.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right, guys. Again, the show's going to be up and available online here for you to listen to tomorrow with all the information. Thanks so much for listening. I got to get off the couch here and make way for the other great shows on LA Talk Radio. As I do say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others, and that's the way it works in the world. Don't forget the I am either. All right, take care. Bye-bye.